Was it Frank Sinatra or Liza Minnelli's immortal rendition of New York, New York that Paul had in mind when he is writing to Timothy here? I'm not quite sure. But Paul echoes something in the memorable lyrics of that song from the musical New York, New York, Martin Scorsese's most buoyant creation. And that is, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. And what Paul says here to Timothy, Christ meant to make me the greatest evidence of his inexhaustible patience for all other people. If I can make it at all, you can make it there. Paul writes with this huge and overwhelming confidence, I could make it there, and you can make it anywhere. A confidence in the work and in the presence, in the foundation of Christ in his life. A foundation placed there by Christ himself, whose presence in Paul's life allowed him to make it there, to make it as a herald of the gospel, and to convince us that we can make it anywhere as well. And that requires that firm foundation of Christ. And Jesus in today's gospel speaks about that firm foundation. But in leading to the firm foundation, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And here Jesus echoes the memorable sermon of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 7. It is not those who say, Lord, Lord, in this place who will find favor, but rather those who reach out to the widow, to the orphan, to the stranger, and to the oppressed. And Jeremiah carries on. And what do you think you are doing in this place? When you come here with your offerings, while your lives are full of extortion and of violence. How do we make our words, our convictions, and our actions agree? That requires this firm foundation in Christ. Because without that firm foundation, even our most precious convictions can turn to nothing more than the perversion of those convictions. If our defense of life becomes the denial of dignity to anyone, then we have failed. We have failed in our purpose, and we have failed in our acts. What we do require is to mold and shape our lives by the grace of God towards that seamless garment of the wholeness of God's kingdom possible in our experience here and now. Jesus builds on Jeremiah's sermon and says that anybody who comes to him and acts on his word is like someone who has dug that firm foundation in rock. Otherwise, those who do not act on the words are like people who build on sand. The slightest provocation and the whole edifice, the whole structure, is swept away. Yet when we are founded in action which arises from the words of Christ, and not just the words we like, not just the bits that we feel good about in our lives, but the whole word of the gospel, which encourages us to look with God's eyes at this created reality and at the human reality, which for God is simply a mirror in which he should be finding his own face gazing back. And that reflection is only possible when we embrace the full message of Christ and embrace actions towards the encouraging, the enhancement of the dignity due the image and likeness of God in this world. The rabbis over many generations, looking at the Ten Commandments, have wondered why such an obvious commandment is included. You shall make no graven images, and you shall not bow down before them and worship them. Because everywhere else Scripture speaks of the one God. It speaks of the emptiness of all other images. It speaks of the craveniness of the graven image. So why does this need to come into a commandment? Something which is pretty straightforward if you read anything in Scripture with attention. And the rabbis say it's not so much to forbid as to give us perspective. And that perspective is that we do not need to make a graven image of God and bow down and worship before it, because God has made his image and his mirror, his likeness, present in the world when he molded us out of the clay of the earth. And unless we treat each other with the dignity due to divinity, we have not found the meaning of that commandment yet. These are quite strong words, and it seems that Jesus is aware of this rabbinical tradition when he quotes Jeremiah, with Jeremiah's strong emphasis on action towards each other, action that has to carry the worshipful reverence of the temple into the world, and not use the temple as that place where you can scrub your conscience so that you can go back to what is perverse and wild and disordered. The temple is that from which life and order, as we find in Ezekiel's great vision of the temple, from which life and order and wholeness flow into the world. It is not those who say, "Lord, Lord," who do my will, but those who do what I say. It doesn't demand great witnesses in language, great rebuttals of the insults and the misunderstandings which come our way as believers, whether Christian or Catholic. The actions of love are those things which convince. Words come and words go, we listen to speeches, we forget them. Yet the action which changes somebody's life, which gives them comfort and convinces them of God's grace, those things remain ever dear and ever precious to us. And there is the deep foundation. Acting in accord with the whole teaching of Christ. A whole teaching which is always greater than what we are and what we can manage, but that draws us constantly and carefully closer to the heart of God, that ultimate and that firm foundation. And of course, if Paul could make it there, we can make it anywhere. Heaven, heaven. Amen.